We thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here this morning. My name's Brother Bob Wilson, for those that don't know me. And we live close to Enid, Oklahoma. I want to share just a few thoughts. It's been a real blessing to me. I'd like to start off with a verse in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And maybe we'll read verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We got our homework cut out for us. This is to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm thinking about our thoughts today. They're very powerful. They affect us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Our thoughts are very, very powerful things, and we want to be able to have the mind of Christ, and we want to be able to have godly thoughts and thoughts that are in accord with what the Scriptures teach. We live in a world that's filled with negativity, depression. Just recently, there in Enid, a man took his life. He jumped off the overpass there in Enid. And his thoughts weren't right. His thoughts, somehow the enemy was able to work. Now, I didn't know the man, but the enemy was able to work. And the enemy seeks to destroy, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And his thoughts weren't real, they weren't in harmony with what God would have had for his life. But we live in this world, and it's not just one place, it's all over. People are heavily medicated because of depression, anxiety, fear. One verse talks about men's hearts failing them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. So we have this environment to contend with, which is not very conducive to having good thoughts. And then we're bombarded with media all the time, thoughts that they present. And so it's very important and vital for us. And I hope we all feel challenged that we're able to bring our thoughts into captivity. And I really appreciated Sister Lena's testimony this morning. I don't know. She said a song came to her mind, a verse came to her mind in Psalms. And she said it over and over. And sometimes we have to do that. That's part of our spiritual battle. Right. To be able to have the right thoughts in our mind, our spirit, we've got to resist wrong thoughts and things that would be detrimental to us. I thought about the walls of Jericho. They were pretty mighty walls. Rahab, I believe, lived on the wall. But they were mighty. It was They were just heavy duty. I remember reading Josephus one time that described the walls. I don't remember how many feet thick, many feet in diameter. Strong walls. And you know, sometimes our thoughts are like that. We get into, and it starts very young many times, from things that happen and transpire in our lives. We begin to think in certain ways concerning ourselves, our perception of who we are and our perception of our world around about us, before we ever realize, you know, what we're doing. But those walls were so strong and powerful, and it took the power of God to be able to, you know how they marched around the city? It didn't happen in one day, but they marched around, and the walls did come down. And sometimes it takes a struggle to fight against, to get the walls, the patterns maybe that we've allowed, habits. I know a writer one time said it's like a path through an orchard that many people have walked down. It's just worn, and that's the way our brain gets. Thoughts just kind of tend to go in certain directions. And it takes a real a resistance on our part to be able to change. And we won't change. We can't change unless our thoughts change. And the thoughts are the window to the heart.
Yes.
It has to come through our thought process before it gets to the heart, our affections. But for us to change, we've got to be able to and make spiritual progress. We've got to change many times the way we think about ourselves. And there's a lot of negativity in our world today, and a lot of things that have happened to us in life that were negative things. I want to share just a little bit about C.W. Naylor. I learned a little bit more about him just recently. He was, my basic knowledge was he was injured with a tent post that fell when they were, I don't know if they were taking it down or putting it up. But he made comment that he felt like he was in a position to do more productive work for God than he had ever been. And he just said there was opportunities that looked promising to him, and he just, his heart and mind was in the work of the Lord. He was in tune with God. And this tragedy happened, this tent post fell on him, and I thought that was it did major internal damage to C.W. Naylor. And by the way, his name is Charles Wesley Naylor. We just see C.W. Naylor in our songbook, but his name's Charles Wesley Naylor. But he was also, and I looked it up on the internet, it said he was also involved in a bus accident. So I don't know if the bus accident was the final straw. But he was put into bed. He was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything. And he said for 8 years, he had no ray of hope. It was all darkness. He had no future. He couldn't see any future for him. And I can see the struggle. I can't imagine what it would be like to be paralyzed. I believe even his arms was paralyzed. Because later he learned to speak his thoughts into a recorder that later they were able to write it down. So I don't think he had the ability to write. But there have been people that have been affected spiritually and emotionally just as traumatic. But we don't see it because they look like they're a body that's moving around. And from the surface, they look okay. But those influences can be just as traumatic or even more so as what he went through. What do you think of that? You think the Lord, 8 years, I don't believe the Lord left him. I don't believe the Lord forsook him. He was definitely in a learning curve. But he made comment. He said, I had to. He blamed himself for the accident. He said, I can't. And I didn't. I'd never known that part of it. He said, I couldn't blame anybody else. He blamed himself. And there he has a wife. He wasn't able to provide for a wife. That'd be a difficult place to be in. 8 long years. Darkness. No ray of hope. But he said he came to the place, and I wish he would have gave more detail on that. I know in one place he talked about a red bird coming to his window, which I guess was a cardinal, but it was a bird, and he would tap on the glass, and it was like the bird was saying, you, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. He said the bird would fly off and it'd come back. And the same message, that's what he was hearing. You, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. Maybe it had to be a bird to bring that message to bring that message to him. But anyway, he came to a point where he said, I had to forgive myself. And I had to put the past in the past. And I had to go forward.
Yes.
He said different times the old thoughts would come back, but he kept on. He kept on. And finally those thoughts, and he said he came to the place where those thoughts were completely gone. He gained victory. When we're in that process of our thought, Sister Lena mentioned the scripture. I believe the Holy Spirit will give us scriptures.
Yes.
Just like she mentioned, He'll give us a verse of song. And we've got to hold on to that. We've got to keep that in our minds over and over and over and over. When our feelings and our emotions tell us it's not true. When our feelings and our emotions tell us no, we've got to hold on to those promises that God has given us. And pretty soon, the light will come. The light will break. But I believe it's important for us to fight against. And I know the Lord can help us in so many different ways. There was giant despair abusing Christian and doubting Castle. He got in there. And again, remember it was the key of promise that finally opened the door for him, that released him. And the Lord has freedom for us. He doesn't want us to be in bondage to the different things, fears and anxieties. He wants us to be able to fight with the scriptures and hold on to them when it seems like it's all against us and it's not going to work and it's going to fail. We want to hold on to those promises, and light, hope will come. People that are suicidal, and it's happening all the time, it's because they get to the place where there's no hope. in their life. They have no, they don't see any hope for the future. And God has hope for us this morning. God has life for us. Whatever our circumstance and whatever our situation is, there's life there. There's hope there when the Lord, if we will allow Him and hold to those promises, He'll infuse that hope and that life. But there's a spiritual battle taking place. And that's where the battleground is really in our mind. The thoughts that we allow, the thoughts that we cater to. So I find this scripture very, very challenging this morning. Because I know sometimes it can be like the walls of Jericho. They just seem so permanently established. But God can bring them down by the grace of God. But we've got a part to do in it. We've got to hold on to the promises of God. I read also a statement this doctor made. He was an old, I believe if I remember right, he lived to 99 years old. He was good health. Someone asked him, you know, someone lives that long, he asked him, what's your philosophy in life? Be at 99 and still be in good health and strength. He made the statement. He said, war has killed its millions. But he said, self-analysis has killed its 10 millions. Now, what he means by self-analysis, it's where it's the thought processes that we have.
Yes.
He said, and I'm talking about the negative.
Yes.
It's killed its 10 millions.
Yes.
It shut people down.
Yes.
And the devil would like to shut us all down. He'd like to crush us all. But Lord, help us today to recognize that our life has value.
That's right.
Who we are.
Yes.
You know, our relationship, I don't know if you had a good relationship with your mom or with your dad growing up, but an ideal relationship is, it's not because everything is perfect, is it? My wife has had to, she has forborne with me, I'll say that. I'm a slow learner. And it's that way in our relationship with God. It's not that He loves us when we're doing everything right and doing everything perfect. He loves us because we're a creation of His.
Yes. Yes.
Our personality, who we are, our family, where we came from. He has a deep love for everyone.
Yes, He does. Thank the Lord.
The enemy would like to come in and say, oh, you know, the Lord, you got left out. The Lord doesn't leave anybody
That's
out.
Right.
He loves us all. And we want that love to flow through our... We don't want to allow our doubts, our fears, our unbelief to separate us and hinder us from receiving the love that God,
right.
That God has for us. There's many good scriptures in the scripture, and it just takes a little verse just to... over and over and over in your mind. I remember when I lived at there at Miami, I was going to service at Four Corners. I had a cabinet job, part-time cabinet job at a cabinet shop. And the boss came to me and he said, all the other guys are wanting music. They're wanting music. And he was a religious man. And of course I didn't want the music, but anyway, the music came. And I had a struggle. I had the beat. I would go home from work and beats a certain song was just almost like they were vibrating in my but the Lord gave me a song. And I would sing that little song, that those few verses, over and over and over. And it got to where that music didn't affect me. I could go in and I could be singing my little song and it wasn't affecting me. So I know the Lord can help us in our Christian fight, but there's many scriptures. Be still and know that I'm God. Just those few verses. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. That's another homework assignment. Oh, things happen, and boy, our mind is like sometimes 100 miles an hour. Why did they do that? Or why didn't they do that? But we're all human.
Yes.
Be still and know that I'm God. Whatever the Holy Spirit will give to you, make that your hallmark.
Yes.
Say it over and over and over until it gets down into the heart. I know sometimes we believe it with our head. We know it's supposed to be that way in our head. But we got to eat it and partake of it daily until it gets down into our heart, in our spirit. And that's victory. Regardless, one place, regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, I know, is faithful to give us those verses, those songs. And sometimes it's easy just to go on to the next thing, but we want to hold on to those and say them over and over and over. That's our defense. That's our weaponry. That's our help from the Lord. Anyway, I trust the Lord will bless you all. Appreciate your attention this morning.